together. Welcome to the show. I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks for tuning in. It's great to be back here with you on Blog Talk Radio, on TuneIn Radio, on iTunes, wherever you're listening from. It's just great to have you here. Today, as we do each week, we'll look ahead to the Mass readings for the upcoming Sunday. This week, we'll feature the Mass readings for the second Sunday of Advent. You know the interesting thing about Advent? Advent moves very quickly. Unlike Lent, we've got very little time, it goes so quick. We have very little time to prepare, and certainly what we're trying to do during the Advent season is to prepare to welcome Jesus. Christmas Day, that's the end point. That's where we're headed. We want to try to get closer to him each day, and that's what we're doing on this program by looking at the Sunday Mass reading. So this is the second Sunday of Advent. You know, there's only four Sundays in Advent, don't you? So we've got work to do. If you continue to do this, if you continue to take it seriously and try to listen to the Mass readings, listen to the Lord speak to you through the Mass readings, you're going to find yourself getting closer to the Lord. And of course, what else you have to do? Well, the other thing you have to do is to spend time with him every day. Make sure you spend a little time in prayer each day in order to make this your best Advent ever. If you're listening to this program because you heard about it on Spirit in the Morning, welcome. I've been doing this show on Blog Talk Radio for a long time. Today is December the 2nd, right? December the 2nd. I don't remember the exact date. I probably should, but I think around December the 10th will be my 6th anniversary of doing this program on Blog Talk Radio. I never envisioned it to get as big as it did. It had a couple of different changes that we made, some modifications. We started out 3 times a week, then we went to 5 days a week for 30 minutes, then I expanded it to 5 days a week for 60 minutes, then back to 30 minutes. Now we're doing it as a once-a-week program. I don't want to stop it because this show allows me a lot more freedom than the morning show does to talk about Scripture. I have more time to really focus on God's Word and Sacred Scripture. That's why I like doing this, and I thank you for listening to the program. Please let your friends know that I'm here and that I'm going to continue to do this as long as I can. I can't rule out expanding it once again to go back to multiple times a week, but until I'm comfortable with what I do at the morning show, because I have to do that 5 times a week, and my traveling, until I figure everything out, we're going to do once a week so that we look at the Sunday Mass readings, which I think is really important for us to do. So if you want to find out more about me, if you want to find out more about my work, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com, or email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. My new book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, is available for pre-order now. I'm going to modify the website so that you can pre-order it from the website. I'm not sure that will be done tonight or not, but if you want, you can get it from Amazon. The release date currently, I think, is January 21st. It'll probably ship a little before then. It's a 365-day devotional, a Bible verse for every day of the year, made especially for worriers. And if you're fed up with worrying, if you want to, as the title says, stop worrying and start living, I think this is the book for you. So please check that out over at Amazon. Also, I will have information on followingthetruth.com. I also want to remind you that I need your help in order to continue with this work. Even though I'm doing the radio show in the morning, being a full-time Catholic evangelist can be challenging at sometimes. Being able to give you this show for free can be challenging. Your purchases of Mystic Monk Coffee from my website, followingthetruth.com, and your purchases from Amazon are very helpful if you use the link on followingthetruth.com. It helps me tremendously. And if you've never had Mystic Monk Coffee, I think I'm going to have to order myself some soon because I'm all out. They've got tremendously good coffee. They have featured the Christmas blend, Jingle Bell Java, which is really a unique coffee flavor. You've got to try that. Candy cane flavor. They have chocolates. They have chocolate-covered espresso beans and chocolate-covered caramels. They have something new. I don't remember this from last year. Jingle Bell Java hot chocolate. Plus, they have their regular assortment of coffees. Really good stuff. They have, their monk shots, which are compatible with the Keurig brewers. They're the K-cups, essentially. They call them monk shots. They have a whole line of teas. They have mugs. They have gift packs. Mystic Monk Coffee. Check it out at followingthetruth.com. You get yourself some great coffee, makes for great Christmas presents. You help the monks out, the Carmelite monks in Cody, Wyoming, and you help your buddy Gary out, because every purchase that you make results in a little bit of a donation, or a profit, I should say, for me. The same thing with Amazon. If you're going to be shopping at Amazon for Christmas, if you would just use the link at followingthetruth.com, it would help me out a lot. Nothing changes for you. You get the same prices. I don't get to see what you buy. It's not like I'm snooping into your personal life. Everything's the same for you, but the fact that you went from followingthetruth.com results in a profit for me. And also, please keep in mind, if you'd like to make a donation, you could do that as well. A secure donation by PayPal, simply by going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on donate. And I really want to thank you. You know, I turn to you and I ask you for your help with keeping my ministry going. You've been doing that for 5 years, and I am incredibly grateful. But I have to ask. I mean, because if I didn't ask, you wouldn't know. You would think I don't need it. But I really do. So I thank you for that. Let's begin with prayer today, and then we'll look at the Mass readings for Sunday of the second week of Advent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. Thank you for all the blessings that you have sent to us, most notably the blessing of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Father, thank you for always being with us. Wherever we go, whatever we do, your presence is always with us, and we're grateful for that. Please help those who are sick. Please help those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who may be struggling with doubt or despair. Please help us with our own personal needs. Please speak through me today, Father. Use my voice and my lips and my words to be able to proclaim your message. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. Please bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. Please increase vocations. Please put an end to abortion. Please bless our elected officials. Allow them to govern according to your law and not their own personal goals. Father, please help those who might be struggling with religious persecution around the world. Help those who are dealing with extreme weather conditions or who may be homeless or homebound. And Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us, and good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One thing I did want to mention that I neglected to highlight at the start of the show is that on Monday at 6 p.m., I'll be the guest for the first hour of Catholic Answers Live. The theme is You Are Not Alone. I'm really excited about doing this because, especially during the holidays, many people feel lonely. They struggle with loneliness. Loneliness is an illusion. And I'm not, please listen and don't misunderstand, because I'm passionate about this. Loneliness is very real for some people. It's a very real feeling. It is can be crippling. It can be incredibly painful. But the reason I say it is an illusion, and please understand, I'm not downplaying it, is that the Lord is always with us. We always have him with us, even if it doesn't feel like it. The trick is, and the same thing applies to anxiety, the trick is we need to make ourselves aware of his presence and really be able to look at some concrete steps, things that we can do to be able to overcome the loneliness. And the main thing we can do is to recall, number one, it all starts with this, to recall that Jesus is always with us, to recall that he loves us, to recall that he wants to become intimately involved in our lives, and then the next step, obviously, is to turn to him. And when you start doing that, when you start spending time with him, and especially if you spend time in his real presence at church, at the Adoration Chapel, you're going to start to feel completely different about being lonely. And it's going to take time. You might still experience feelings of loneliness, but the more you become aware of his presence in your life, over time, the loneliness will begin to fade. And there are other things you can do, but we're going to talk more about that on Monday. I hope you can join me for that. Catholic Answers Live, broadcast on the EWTN radio network 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be doing that from the studios of Holy Spirit Radio. Normally I do it on the phone, but now that I'm doing the radio show, we're going to do the show live from Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia. All right, let's get started. Let's take a look at these mass readings. The second Sunday of Advent. The first Sunday, the first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is read throughout Advent. You hear a lot from the prophet Isaiah during the Advent season, primarily because he is talking about, he spends a lot of time discussing the Savior, the Messiah, who will be coming. You know, at the time of Isaiah, they didn't know when the Messiah would be coming, but they did know that the Israelites knew that a Messiah would be coming. And Isaiah was given that message. Isaiah was a prophet. So what do prophets do? Prophets communicate to God, right? And then they communicate God's message to the people. They're sort of like an intermediary between the people and God. Remember that Jesus Christ had not been born yet. And what the Lord was doing was revealing himself gradually to the people. And he did that through the prophets for thousands of years. So Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. On that day, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a bud shall blossom. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of strength, a spirit of knowledge and of fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Not by appearance shall he judge, nor by hearsay shall he decide. But he shall judge the poor with justice, and decide aright for the lands afflicted. He shall strike the ruthless with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Justice shall be the band around his waist, and faithfulness a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the young lion shall browse together, and a little child to guide them. The cow and the bear shall be neighbors together, their young shall rest. The lion shall eat hay like the ox. The baby shall play by the cobra's den, and the child lay his head on the adder's lair. There shall be no harm or ruin on my holy mountain, for the earth shall be filled with knowledge of the Lord, as water covers the sea. On that day the root of Jesse set up as a signal for the nations, the Gentiles shall seek out for his dwelling, shall be glorious. Now, there's a lot of poetic language here, but even if you're not a scripture scholar, there are so many images here that make us feel peaceful and joyful. I mean, it's a place where you want to go. It's a reminder that what is happening is that the Savior is coming. Remember, the people are waiting for the Savior. And Isaiah is getting this message. And he's talking about, now this probably sounded familiar to you, the shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. Now we're talking about the fact that Jesus will be descended from the line of David. So he's giving an indication, which is pretty funny because so many people at the time, when Jesus was born and he began his public ministry, so many people ignored what is referred to as the Hebrew scriptures. They ignored the message because they had their own concept of what the Savior should be like, and as a result, they missed Jesus. Even though the prophets were giving specific things to look for, right? But a lot of times, as do we, people ignored the message. These gifts, what we see, the wisdom, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, this Messiah, this Savior. We're talking about Jesus here. These gifts that he has of the Spirit, they should sound familiar. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, strength, knowledge, fear of the Lord, and his delight shall be the fear of the Lord. Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts that you have, you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized, and the Holy Spirit, that gift is completed during the sacrament of confirmation. So you have those same gifts of the Holy Spirit, those gifts that lived within Jesus. The Holy Spirit lived within Jesus, and he basically, what he did was he gave us His Spirit. It's an incredible gift. So when we struggle, with things in our life, we often forget that we have the Holy Spirit. And you talk about being lonely. If we just remember that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, we've got this great friend, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us, our loneliness would lessen when we think about it, right? We would think about it. If we would think about it, our loneliness would lessen because we realize we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Great gift, great gift. So, it goes on to say, Jesus shall judge the poor with justice, etc. Justice shall be the band around his waist and faithfulness, a belt upon his hips. Then the wolf shall be a guest of the lamb, etc. What we have here is the kingdom of heaven is being established with the birth of Christ. Now, ultimately, we're going to see the full kingdom of heaven when we get there, and certainly when Jesus comes again in glory and the world ends, we're going to really see the full coming of the kingdom of heaven. So we see it partially. Sometimes it's difficult to see it in the midst of our daily lives right now. It can be challenging, but that doesn't mean that it's not there. The kingdom is here, and Jesus ushered in that kingdom of heaven. It's a very special thing for us. The Psalm 72, we're going to tie all these readings in together, so I want to make sure I can get through them all. The responsorial psalm is Psalm 72, justice shall flourish in his time and fullness of peace forever. Remember that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice and your afflicted ones with judgment. Justice shall flower in his days and profound peace till the moon be no more. May he rule from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. For he shall rescue the poor when he cries out, and the afflicted when he has no one to help him. He shall have pity for the lowly and the poor. The lives of the poor he shall save. May his name be blessed forever. As long as the sun, his name shall remain. In him shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed. All the nations shall proclaim his happiness. Ultimately, we are all poor. When you hear that the Lord will help the poor, that's us. If we're poor, we can't help ourselves. If I'm poor, there's obviously some need in my life. Do you know what your greatest need is? Your greatest need is getting to heaven. You can't do that by yourself. We might think we have needs. Unfortunately, the need to get to heaven is not usually one of the top ones on our list when we think about our greatest needs, but it really is. It's an incredibly important one. I cannot make it to heaven without the grace of the Lord. So without what Jesus Christ did on the cross, when he suffered, he died, he rose from the dead, he opened the gates of heaven, and now through his church, he gives me this grace that enables me to be able to get to heaven. I couldn't do that on my own. There's no way I'm going to do that on my own in my life. It's just impossible. So I am poor. A lot of times I might not feel poor, but I am. And I'm the person who needs that help. It's something we don't want to forget. We can forget it at times. We can forget just how much we need the Lord's help, especially when it comes to getting to heaven. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 15, verses 4 through 9. Brothers and sisters, whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to think in harmony with one another in keeping with Christ Jesus, that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, then, as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. For I say that Christ became a minister of the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, to confirm the promises to the patriarchs, but so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. Okay, let's take a quick look at this second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Paul talks about whatever was written previously was written for our instruction. Obviously, the New Testament wasn't finished at this time. He's talking about the Old Testament or the Hebrew Scriptures, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Advent is a season of hope. We look at the coming of the Savior. I know he already was born 2,000 years ago, but you and I, we need a deeper coming of Jesus Christ into our lives. That's the purpose of Advent. We get all cluttered up with problems, with worries, with distractions, and we sometimes lose that connection with Jesus. We just lose sight of him. Advent's that time to reconnect and to look at the many things in our lives that often appear hopeless. We all have them. We might have a problem that just doesn't seem fixable. We might look at our future and it looks bleak. So many struggles, so many distractions, so many things that really mask the Lord from us. Advent's the time to step back and to take a look at Jesus and to reconnect with him, to try to grow closer to him in our lives. That's what we're doing here. So Paul talks about the Scriptures being very helpful, and the Scriptures are very helpful. That's why I spend the Friday program reading Scripture, reading the Sunday Mass readings from the Bible, and that's why also I spend so much time on my show each day reading the Gospel and doing the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Why we need Scripture. And many people struggle with Scripture. I try to keep it simple. I don't use an academic approach because that's the way I like it in my life. And the ability to dig into Scripture as deep as you want, that exists. So if you are a scholar and you want to take possibly a college course, maybe you want to take a Bible study, that's great. Please do that, because I've done things like that in the past. I just don't get overly academic on the program here and when I speak. I like to use a more general approach. I try to keep it basic because I'm a simple guy. That's what I like. But please take it as deep as you want. That's the beauty of sacred Scripture. And Paul also states that he's praying that the God of endurance and encouragement, because our Lord is all about endurance and encouragement. He wants to help us endure. This is a race that we're in. St. Paul used that imagery in his writings. We are running a race, the race that ends at what? The finish line, which is the end of our life, and then, God willing, we'll make it to heaven. That's what we hope for, by enduring until the end. Let's see. He says, we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, then, as Christ welcomed you for the glory of God. And he talks about that he was sent to the Gentiles. He was sent to the Gentiles to proclaim the good news to the Gentiles. That was Paul's job. He was referred to as the apostle to the Gentiles. Why? Because the kingdom of God is open to everyone. The church is universal. Nobody's excluded. You can exclude yourself if you want. That happens sometimes, but nobody's excluded. That's why we don't want to choose certain people and say, well, these are the people that I'm going to preach to, or I'm going to share the good news with. No, you're supposed to share the good news with everyone. And it starts. It starts with your actions, your deeds, your smile, your kind words, whatever it may be. That's where the gospel begins. You don't start by opening up your Bible necessarily and saying, hey, listen to this. This is important. You need to hear this in a nasty tone. You know, sometimes we do that. And we wonder why nobody wants to listen to us. Well, it's because we're not making the message very attractive or appealing, or we're not living it. It's crucial that we live the gospel, not just proclaim it, right? Let's look at the gospel today for Sunday from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken, when he said, a voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I'm baptizing you with water and repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." All right, we've got John the Baptist, the precursor, the last of the Old Testament prophets. John the Baptist is saying, okay, listen up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Time to repent. And this is really what we do during Advent. Now, Advent is not as strict with the it's not specifically as geared toward repentance as Lent is. Lent is more about repenting, sacrificing, doing penance. Advent is a time of preparation. There's some repentance involved there. We've got to look at problem areas of our lives, do some cleanup so that we have room to welcome the Lord during the Advent season. So the repentance is necessary. But John the Baptist is proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that kingdom that was announced initially by the prophet Isaiah. Remember in that first reading we heard about the kingdom of heaven? Well, that's what John the Baptist is saying. Okay, the kingdom is here. He refers to Isaiah talking about him when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." That was John the Baptist's role. John the Baptist was saying, okay, I'm here to announce Jesus, this person that the prophets talked about. He's here. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of heaven is here. And pay attention. Repent. And the problem was there were some individuals, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were singled out here, and they were a problem when it came to the ministry of Jesus, because they were very closed-minded and they didn't want to see things. They weren't really listening to what Jesus was saying as he was proclaiming the good news. They wanted to do things their way. I think we all have a little bit of Pharisee and Sadducee inside of us, and we have to be careful of that. John talked about, "I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I." He's talking about Jesus. Therefore, John's baptism was not a sacrament. He was just baptizing with water. And he said, "He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." See, that's when we're baptized, we receive the Holy Spirit. "He will clear the threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is a reminder to us. St. Paul talked about enduring, running the race, persevering. That's what we have to do. It's not a given that we will live forever in heaven. We have to listen to the Lord. He's going to give us the grace that we need, but we have to cooperate with that grace. If somebody gives me a gift card for a restaurant and I'm hungry, what do I have to do? I can't eat the gift card. I have to go take it to the restaurant and exchange it for the food. See, that's the way it is with grace, too. I don't have to use it just because I have it. Just because you receive the Eucharist Mass every Sunday doesn't mean that you automatically are letting those graces work in your life. So this is Advent. This is the time to get busy and to do that and say, all right, Lord, I'm going to pay more attention. I'm going to really listen to your words. Please help me to become better, to cooperate with that grace and be a better person. All right, that's the point of this. So get excited. The Lord is coming. John the Baptist announces it during Sunday's Mass in the Gospel. I'm Gary Zimek. I want to thank you for tuning in. I've got to run. I'm completely out of time. Let me know if you have any questions. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy Mass on Sunday. And remember to listen also to Spirit of the Morning every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern on Holy Spirit Radio. God bless you.